Welcome back. We're now in session number 3. Now, the first two sessions really gave you the foundational understanding, the psychology, if you will, the philosophy of what we're doing. Now it's time to actually make this stuff happen. And where it starts is creating a life plan, a way really to manage your whole life, to get the results you really want, and again, to enjoy yourself. And I know I'm sounding a bit repetitious, I'm sure, in places here, but really that's by design. Again, I believe repetition is the mother of skill, and if we've been so conditioned to think of to-do lists and running our life in the traditional way that if I say something 3 or 4 times, I still don't think that's quite enough. I'm hoping you're hearing it, but taking it in and really applying it. Now, let's do a quick review before we start talking about your life plan. What have we focused on thus far? What we've talked about is that ultimately, the direction of our life, how we feel, and what we do is controlled by primarily what we focus on a day-to-day basis. That if we want to change how we feel, the events of our life are not going to make us happy or sad. What's going to make us happy or sad is what do you focus on in those events and what's the meaning that you attach to it. And in our last session, we really focused on time targets, which is, hey, if I want to be stressed, all I got to do is focus on things I can't control. Now, that's all it'll take, and I'll be stressed immediately. Or I can spend my time and energy living in reaction to the urgencies of the moment, or I can make things seem more important than they really are. Remember that basic principle. I really want to get you to take that home, that whenever you're stressed, remind yourself, I'm probably making this much more important than it really is in the long term, in the quality of my life overall. Now, some things really are important, but you don't have to be stressed. You can focus on, what is my result? Let me just fix it. What do I want? Why do I want it? What do I need to do? That's OPA, outcome, purpose, action. Now, the purpose of this session is then to address the reality of what happens day to day. And here's what actually occurs. We find ourselves in a position where if we have a to-do list and we have best intentions, and let's say we're even OPA-focused. Let's say we don't just have a to-do list. We've asked ourselves, what's my outcome today? Or what's my outcome for this week? What are some of the most important results and why do I want them? It's still possible to focus only on certain areas of your life, isn't it? And leave out others completely. Like, for example, I found myself at times being in a position where I would get excited about a particular area of my life, and I'd give it an immense amount of focus. And since I focused on it, it got a lot better. In fact, it improved, I felt better, I produced greater results, and I tended to be more fulfilled because I knew why I was spending time there. So, for example, I'd go for a period of time and I'd work really hard, let's say, on an aspect of my business. Let's say it was creating the most incredible products possible, the most incredible seminars. But what I didn't focus on was the marketing of those things. So here I had this great stuff and nobody was showing up because that wasn't my area of focus. I was focused on the area that gave me the most rewards and quite honestly I felt was most important at that time. But you have to do both, don't you? Because otherwise your ideas, you could have great thoughts, great feelings, have a lot of people and your ideas will die on your lips. Other times I'd be really focused, okay, I got to make sure I market this. I let people know what I've got to offer. But then I didn't pay attention to the accounting side of the business, and I got bit in the rear pretty hard. Has that ever happened to you if you have your own business? So I began to find myself constantly going and even asking outcomes. I wasn't just making to-do lists. I was getting great results where I was focusing. But where I wasn't focusing, I was experiencing pain. Can you relate to that? Or let's use our personal life as an example. And by the way, if you're going to manage your life, you have 2 areas of management. Right? If you think of areas of management, you have your personal life and you have your professional life. And it's useful to separate them, even though they relate to one another, in terms of your mindset. Because there's certain things in your personal life you've got to continuously not only focus on, but you've got to continuously improve if your life is going to be fulfilling and successful. There are certain things in your professional life that you've got to not only focus on, but you've got to continuously improve. So when I use this language, I say what you need is a plan for your life. You need a life management system. And what it teaches you first is to divide the areas of management in your life to personal and professional. Wasn't that brilliant? Wasn't that a breakthrough thought? Pretty simple, right? So now, but within those areas, within the areas of your life that are most important, let's take your personal life, aren't there times when you put a tremendous amount of energy in one area of your personal life and then another area doesn't get its due? I mean, it doesn't get its fill, and as a result, it comes back to bite you a bit? I'm going to give you an example of what I would do. I would go out there, and in my personal life, I'd say, okay, and I am really absolutely committed to making sure my kids are being totally supported. I put my total energy in my kids, but I wasn't focusing on my wife. That didn't fly real big because even though she understood she loved the kids too, it was like, hey, what about me? Or I put all my energy into my wife and my kids, but I wasn't taking any time for my physical body. Or I'd work on my physical body for a while, but then I wasn't really taking the time to really just breathe and be and think things through and take care of the emotional part of my life. And so again, instead of a to-do list, I was smarter than that. I had really clear outcomes for my family, really clear outcomes for my kids. I had really clear outcomes about how to nurture my relationship. But again, I'd go through periods where one was more predominantly focused than others. And there's nothing wrong with that. But you got to know what all the areas are that are most important to you. And you got to put the stakes in the ground, because otherwise something will get neglected. And I'll tell you how to give you a metaphor for this. By the way, all these areas of your life, there's the two giant areas of management, your personal and professional side, right? But also, then the areas that you're going to continually focus on, and not just focus on, you're going to absolutely commit to constantly improve. I call those categories of improvement. And that term will make more sense as we go along. You have categories of improvement for your personal life and categories of improvement for your professional life, which means you're going to identify in your life what are the most important areas that you're going to continuously focus on in the personal side of your life, that you're going to measure, not just hope it goes well, but you're going to constantly measure and make sure you're improving in a significant way. Because if you don't, you're going to have pain. You're going to be out of balance. You're going to feel hurt. You're going to feel sad. Something's going to grow while something's going to fall off. So we've got to figure out how to focus on each of these areas in a way that's relatively balanced. Now, you may spend a little more time on one, but we don't want to do it completely at the neglect of another. Am I making sense? I know it sounds a little complex without seeing a diagram of it, but I think if you stay with me, it'll make more sense. Same thing in your professional life. You've got to make sure that you hit each of those areas. Sometimes you might spend more time, but you can't neglect another area or it comes back to bite you. So these categories of improvement are how we're going to teach you to manage your life. So instead of saying, what am I going to do? You're going to say, what's my outcome for my body this week? What's my outcome if that was one of your categories of constant improvement, which for me it has to be, and I think it is for you too, right? I mean, if you don't continuously focus on how to improve your health and vitality and energy, it doesn't get better. It wanes. It dwindles. You got to use those muscles. You got to use that breath. You got to take care of your body. You got to nurture your emotions, as an example. So this is an important way of managing your life. So when you look at your week, you're going to say, what are the most important outcomes for my family, for my kids, for my wife? What are the most important outcomes that I want to generate this week for my own emotional well-being? That's different than what should I do this week. Do you see how that'll create more balance? Or in your professional life, you'll say, okay, what am I going to do within the area of marketing in my company, if it was your own company? What am I going to do within the area of empowering my employees so that they're really juiced and really at their very best? Because if I'm out there trying to create raving fan customers, but I don't take care of my internal customer, the people that work with me every single day, the company's going to suffer, and eventually the person who's listening to this tape program right now, is going to suffer. So I've got to focus on what else you got to focus on? You got to focus on making absolutely certain that the financial parts of the business are solid. So again, some of you don't own your own business, but you can look at your job, you're just your own profession, and say there are certain things that I've got to continuously improve on to make it work. Now, I want to tell you why we call these categories of improvement rather than just areas of focus. And by the way, that's an okay way to look at it. You could say within the area of management called my personal life, what are the most important areas of my life I've got to continuously focus on? But focusing on it will give you a feeling, it'll move you in a direction, but we don't want to just focus. We want to improve. We want to expand. We want progress, not just change, right? So here's a core principle to have inside your mind. Anything you're going to effectively manage, you must be able to measure. If you can't measure it, you really can't manage it effectively. So one of the things you got to do is look at a simple example in our lives. When do most people think of outcomes for their life? What most people call goals. The reason they call them goals is because they don't usually achieve them. Outcomes are something you absolutely produce the result on. There's more certainty in that. But when do they do it? You know when. New Year's. Isn't that when everybody gets together and they do their New Year's resolutions, right? Once a year. And they lay out all these things that they think they should change or improve in their life. Now, here's the key question. When do they check in to measure how they're doing? Yeah, you got it. Next New Year's. Great plan. When you measure something once a year, what's your chance of progress? Maybe in 10 years you'll make some progress. I'll tell you the statistics. 98%, I was reading this in the paper the other day, 98% of the people who make resolutions fail to keep them. 98%, 2% of the people, 2% of the people actually follow through. Now, why is that? Because they don't measure. They get all excited. And by the way, the other reason is because they do it because they think they're supposed to. Oh, it's New Year's. What are you supposed to come up with this time? All right. I think I should try to stop smoking. The key word there was should, right? We don't do our shoulds. We get our must outcomes. That's what we get. So, but let's say you laid out these resolutions. You laid out these goals for your year. If you checked in even once a month and said, how am I doing, and measured it, do you think you get better results? Well, you got 12 times greater chance of having greater results because just by the fact of measuring something, you get a chance to say, hey, I'm off course. It's like the metaphor of flying to Hawaii. Okay, I need to check in. It's not working. All right, let's change something. Let's do something. Okay, I really want this. Why do I want it? Okay, this isn't working. Then what am I going to do? Change it again. What if you checked in once a week? You'd have a 52 times better chance of achieving this. What if you checked in once a day? What if you checked in more than once a day? I'll give you a clue. You check in once a day or more than once a day, you'll flat get the job done because it'll be in your face. You'll be focusing on it. You'll see it's what you really want. You're not doing what's making it work, and you'll find another way to make it happen if you've got enough reasons to do it. So the secret here is if you're going to manage something, and by the way, I do this in companies. When I do turnarounds on companies, I step in and I say, what are the core aspects of this company that must continuously be improved upon for this company not only be competitive, but to create raving fan customers, raving fan employees, and really transform the industry to be the best it can be. And as I look at that, then I say, okay, we're going to measure these areas on a weekly basis. And some things we measure daily, and some things we literally measure hourly, initially at least. Because as you measure them and you put the focus on them, you move towards them, you come up with better solutions, and things get turned around. So measurement is really critical, and these categories are for that. So instead of writing down a couple things we want to do, we're going to say, what are all the areas of my life? And there might be a dozen in your whole life. I mean, if your life is really complex, you know, I have friends that run 8, 9, 10 companies. Myself, I run 7 small companies. I put these companies together with all that I do there, with writing my books, with my tapes, with traveling around, with having 4 children, with being a polo player and all kinds of crazy athletic stuff. I do basketball and stuff like that. All that stuff, my whole life, physical, mental, emotional, social, spiritual, all the career thoughts, all the new things, the companies I integrate, all of that. I can take everything on earth that I focus on in terms of results. And my entire life, which is somewhat complex by most people's standards, has 20 categories. I have 11 things I do within my professional life. That includes the 7 companies. And I have 9 areas of my personal life that I'm continuously focusing on improving. And I'll show you some examples of that in a moment. But let me give you an example that maybe, besides measuring it, will show you the power of balance. Because you know what? Most people hear balance, it's kind of a wimpy word, isn't it? I want to balance things. And you think, loser, right? You can't achieve anything. You're running around trying to balance everything because you can't achieve anything. That's what achievers think. But the truth is, when you create balance, you create momentum. You create power. So let me give you an example. In front of you, inside your little tape set or your CD set, you'll find a little diagram. And what I'd like you to do is take out a pen and fill it out. Or if you're using the life management system, the OPA life management system, you'll find it right there in your instruction booklet. And what it shows you is the wheel of life. And in it, it takes a couple of areas of your life that you would need to continuously focus on for your personal life to really work. So if you look at the wheel, you'll see there's a part called physical, which is obviously your physical well-being, your health, your fitness. There's a part called emotional. There's a section on finance. There's a section on your family, on spirituality, and your career. Now, these are arbitrary. You could change these categories. You might say, well, where's friends on there? You know, let me put that on the list. And let me leave my career for a different wheel, a wheel called my professional life. That might make even more sense. So let's do that. Let's just say physical, emotional, financial, family, spiritual. Let's change one of those to friends. Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to imagine that the center of this wheel, that inner circle, that inner dot right in the middle that all the spokes connect to, that's zero. And the edge of the circle is 100% of what you desire. And do something fun with me for a second. What I'd like you to do is take each category and say, okay, in my physical area of my life, where am I 0 to 100% of what I really want for my life? Where am I? And then figure that percentage. Are you at 10% of where you'd want to be? Are you at 50%? Are you at 99%? And draw a line just across, just in that portion of the pie. So if you say, well, gosh, my physical's it's in okay shape. Well, what are you on a 0 to 10 or 0 to 100? Well, I'm probably a 7. So, okay, well, then go up to 70%, right, from the middle, and draw that little curve across. Now take a look at your emotional life. What's the level of passion, the level of energy, the level of excitement, the level of juice you feel on a daily basis, not just once in a while when you achieve something. I mean, how you live day to day, when you wake up in the morning, when you're out with your friends, what's that level of emotional juice that's in your life right now? If 100% is absolutely your idea of ecstasy, your ultimate level of where you'd like to be, and 0 is dead, where are you? You might say, well, honestly, right now I'm a bit frustrated with some areas of my life. I mean, that's one of the reasons I decided to pick up this tape program. I'm probably about 30% of where I want to be. Okay, great. So you got 70% on physical and 30% there. Draw that line across at about the 1/3 mark at 30%. Now look at the financial area of your life. Where does that fit in? If 100% is absolutely where you want to be financially, and the middle is zero, where are you? You go, gosh, where I want to be compared to where I am? Well, maybe that's at 10% of where I want to be. You know, maybe that's at 100%. I don't know. Pick it. So somebody says, well, I want to make it 10%. Draw that little line if that's where it was for you. Go ahead and do your example. How about your family life? How would you measure? Where are you compared to where you want to be in your relationships with your kids or with your intimate spouse or lover or best friends? Or where are you in your relationships with other family members? Like, how would you measure the quality of your relationship with your mom or your dad or your brothers or your sisters? What is that like compared to where you really want it to be? You go, well, I'm not spending as much time as I'd like. Or, wow, that's the one of the strong areas of my life. Okay, great. Then put it in that area. You say, well, that's about 90%. I mean, that's really awesome. Great. Put the 90% mark just below the edge of the circle. And then if we looked at your spirituality, your level of connection with your creator, with yourself, with nature, where is that compared to where you want it to be? And mark that. You say, well, that's strong. I feel really strong in there. That's a 99%er. Well, great. Draw that across the top. And finally, since we already use friends, let me change it back and go ahead and say, let's use career here. If you're looking at your career, where is it right now compared to where you really want to be? You know, you say, well, gosh, I think I have so much potential. I'm doing well. You know, maybe that's 70%, 75%. Put that mark. Okay? So now here's what I want you to do. Have you done this? Take the time to just think of it and don't make this anal. This is easy. Don't make it a big deal. Some people are like, oh my God, what if I put the mark in the wrong place? Please have a good time with this. This is just to give you a little perspective. This is not the end all and be all. Okay, so now that you've done this, make sure that each of these arcs, like in the physical area, I think we picked the example with 70%, that make the arc just not go over part, but from literally one end of the physical to the other. So that piece of the pie has a marker on it. Make sure all of them have that. Then here's what I want you to do. Go and connect these different pieces. So if the example I gave, and if you have the workbook, you'll see an example. But if you don't, you can picture this in your mind. What is it? It's just a circle with six pieces of the pie. That's what you just did. So if we took the physical area, and that's at 70, and then we went to the emotional area, and that was at 30, you'll outline the physical curve at 70% real vigorously so it stands out. Then when you hit the right edge of it, bring your pen down and make it real vigorous until it hits the actual point where the emotional connects. And then go vigorous across there at 30%. So what you're going to end up with is a shape that's the outline of the connections of each of these parts. Go ahead and do that right now. Just go and outline it really strong so you can see the shape that these things create. I hope that makes sense to you if you're looking at it. Again, if you have the workbook in front of you, this will be even simpler. But go ahead and do that. I'll just do what I was doing before you showed up while you're doing this. Okay, are you there yet? And if you want, if it's hard to see, you can fill it in. Actually fill in with dark lines everything inside the shape now so there's a little more contrast. You're welcome to do that. If you do it, though, do it quick or turn off this tape, one or the other, and do it rapidly. Just shade it in really fast. Doesn't have to be perfect so that the inside part of the shape is all shaded. All right? Hurry, hurry. I know you're still doing it. Come on. You can get it done. Quick, 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 quick. It doesn't have to look pretty. Okay. So at this point, you should have the shape outline. It should be really clear. Now, here's the question I have for you. That's your life. Take a good look at it. If this was the wheel on your car called life, how would your life run? Many people would say, that'd be a rough ride. That'd kind of jar you loose at places. Now, if you're trying to drive this thing, this life of yours, like 20 miles an hour, you might be able to survive it. But if you try to do this thing 100 miles an hour, you're going to crash. Now, I say, you, maybe I'm dead wrong. Maybe you have a perfectly balanced life. I haven't met too many humans that do, but you're probably one of those special spiritual beings that have got it all together perfectly, in which case I'm very privileged to be talking to you. But if you're like most humans, this shape is kind of bizarre if you wanted to get any momentum. Do you follow me on this? So part of what categories are going to do is, what would happen if we took the outer edge, like the thing that's one of the strongest on that list, and we used a set of dots and figured out where the circle would need to be in order for this thing to really be around? Because, by the way, if we get real balance, we might be able to go 200 miles an hour. We might be able to have this being like a snowball where not only can go more smoothly and more rapidly, but we get bigger results, a greater experience of our life. So now we can see in some of these areas we're doing really well. You know why? I bet it's because this is an area of your life that you put more attention on. And by the way, why are some areas of your life so much stronger than other areas? Well, there's probably several reasons. One is, remember, where does our focus tend to go? Where we're good at something. We give it more time and energy. And maybe you're not focusing even on it as much now, but you did years ago, and you've got a great foundation now. It doesn't take very much effort to stay strong in that area. On the other hand, it's probably long-term because you put more focus in this area. Or you think, it's easier. You know, that's an area of my life, like my relationship with my kids, that's a slam dunk. That's an easy thing to do. So that may be true, and that also may be your mindset. What if you had the same mindset that it was easy to take care of your body? What if you had the same mindset that running your career was one of the easiest things on earth? It was so fulfilling. It was so driving. It was so fun. If you did that, maybe you'd spend a little more time there, a little more focus, a little more energy. Remember, what you focus on continuously and what you raise your standard on, you don't just focus, but you decide to constantly improve, will get better through time, period. So part of what categories are going to do is give you the power of balance by making you continuously on a weekly basis, and for some of you, you'll decide to do this on a daily basis, look at each area of your life to make sure it's growing together. Because if all the areas of your life are improving, then what's going to happen is you'll start to get a geometric improvement where literally you'll start to find yourself exploding to the next level. Let me tell you what else these categories will really do for you. They'll cause you to stay out of that trap of making a living instead of designing your life. I mean, it's going to allow you to have the full tapestry. You don't want to find yourself in a position where you forget your friends and your children and your family while you're busy working on your career so much. And then wake up one day and say, what happened? I mean, I've never met anybody who said at the end of their life, I wish I spent more time at the office. I mean, it just doesn't happen that way. You don't want to be so busy, let's say even working on something important like the spiritual aspect of your life, and then find out your body's deteriorating because that's the temple you got to have that spirit live in. You know, you don't want to be in a position in your business where you're so busy marketing, you don't manage your costs. So sure, you sell a ton of what you believe in, but then you don't make any money at it or you go broke. So that's what it's going to help you to do, is not just balance, but make certain nothing gets left out. That's part of its strength. And I'll tell you what else it'll do. It'll keep you out of overwhelm. You say, well, it sounds a bit overwhelming just describing the thing. It may in the beginning, just like that metaphor I keep beating to death, you know, driving the stick shift car. In the beginning, it seemed like a lot of parts, right? A lot of things to manage. But in the end, it gives you choices you wouldn't have. I mean, walking is a lot less complex. But I don't know about you, but I'd rather drive across America or fly across America. And by the way, flying's a good example. It's even more complex than driving a car. But it gives you a lot more freedom. And some of you say, heck with that. I'm going to leverage that to somebody else. I don't want to fly. Let them fly. Let them get me from point A to point B so I can be free to do things that really matter to me. Ah, you mean you really use leverage and you don't even notice it? Good for you. See, once you understand it, once we actually do this, which we're about to do, so get ready. But as soon as we lay out your categories and you start using them, oh my God, it'll give you such freedom. And pretty soon it'll be as automatic for you as driving that car, and you won't have to think about it, you'll just do it. So, but here's a good metaphor for this. Have you ever moved and had a lot of stuff, and you get into the new place, and you got, the movers have brought it all in, and it's all in the living room, right? And boxes everywhere. Now, one approach is to say, Mr. Mover, just unpack everything and just put it in whatever drawers you think make sense. You wouldn't do that a million years. You'd rather have that stuff sit there in front of you and being overwhelmed by it because you don't want to be in a position where later on you don't know where stuff is. You know, you don't want out of sight, out of mind. You want to know where things are so when you need them, you can get them, because otherwise you're frustrated. You can't even find your underwear, much less your socks, much less where's your silverware. You want to know where stuff is, because you know what? Knowing exactly what you have and exactly where it goes allows you to have certainty. It allows you to say, when I need it, bam, I can get to it. I don't have to have my silverware and my underwear all on the table in front of me simultaneously. Make me a little crazy. So what do you do to move in? Well, as a simple metaphor, you get some drawers, right? And if you got a lot of things, you might have a lot of drawers, but you get a lot of things that relate to one another. You don't do a different drawer for every fork and one for a knife and one for the spoons. You put them all together because they're in the same area of focus, aren't they? They all relate to the same kind of thing. Similarly, we're not going to put in your diet for its own category and exercise its own category and breathing its own category and all the things you need to think about to be healthy its own category. All those things come together into one category, one drawer. Does that make sense? So that allows you not to be overwhelmed, because otherwise pretty soon you've got things grouped in a way where there's like too many items. So imagine we could put your whole life in like, you know, a dozen drawers, like six in your personal life and six in your professional life. Or I don't know, maybe it's 14, or if you're crazy like me, maybe it's 20. But 10 and 10, right? Really easy to see. One area of management, your personal life, like a chest of drawers for that. One area of management for your professional life. Now think about this. Once you know what the drawers are that all of your life would fit into, and they stay right in front of you, how fast can you put everything away? Something happens. Something comes at you. They make a request. They want something from you. This is happening. That's happening. You don't get overwhelmed. You go, okay, hold a second. That belongs in my physical drawer. This to my emotional life. This has to do with my finances. And you can take all these pieces of paper and these phone calls and these ideas and things that pop in your head and requests that are made and put them in one place, and you know exactly where it is. So when it's time to focus on your finances, it's all there. When it's time to focus on your family, everything that relates to that is right there. It's not having to stay in front of you, overwhelming you, and it's not out of sight, out of mind, where you don't even think about your family or your friends or your finances. Does that make sense? You do the same thing with your professional life. That's really what categories do, because it gives you certainty that nothing's falling out. It keeps you out of overwhelm. I mean, let me give you a quick example. Why don't you imagine you've gone off to your favorite, like, magnificent place, a place where you feel nurtured. Maybe it's a place in a natural environment. You know, for me, that one of the examples is here in Fiji. But maybe for you it's in a forest or on a mountaintop or just someplace by the ocean, maybe someplace you really love. And if you would, assuming you're not driving your car, close your eyes and think about being that incredibly peaceful place. And as you do, breathe the way you breathe when you feel at peace and you're really happy. Imagine some of the things in the environment that really nurture you. Maybe the forest trees or the cool breeze or the smell of the forest or the sounds of the crashing waves in the ocean or the vision that you have of being on the mountaintop. Kind of notice how this feels. And then as you're feeling these feelings, does it feel good? Imagine you're there at peace and then your beeper rings and your cell phone starts to go off and you pick it up and then the cell phone is your home and they're saying, my gosh, we've been trying to find you because I got to talk to you. You know, your daughter is having real problems. We really got to talk because she's really stressed out and she doesn't know what to do and she keeps complaining and she won't listen to what I'm saying to her and you got to get back home here right away and straighten her out. And maybe you look at your beeper and you go, oh, gosh, and it's the office. And you call them and say, listen, we need this report from you right away. Or guess what? The IRS just sent a letter and they want to come and audit us. Or all of a sudden somebody else comes along and they say, you know what? I need some personal time with you, man. I need to talk to you about some issues that have to do with my direction and my career. And then somebody else comes in and they say, you know, we need those expense reports from you right away. And all of a sudden somebody else walks into your little forest area and they come directly up to you and they say, you know what? I got to talk to you. Because the marketing division right now is not doing their job, and I'm sick and tired of pulling everybody's job for them. And then on your personal life, your spouse calls and says, you know what, we need to have some dinner together. I don't feel like I have any time with you. What do you do? How do you feel? Start to get a little stressed? You need your drawers. You need your categories. You need a chance to go, okay, hold it. Let me figure out where this goes. All right, I got a section in my book here where the minute I think of something that has to be done or someone makes a request, I can put it where it belongs, and I'm not losing it. I'm not, like, putting it out of sight, out of mind. I'm putting it where I can address it. What else needs to happen? This relates to my personal life. This relates to my professional life. But within that, this goes into marketing issues. This goes into the financial area. This goes into time with my kids. And you have a place to put those things. And as you do that, you can say, okay, now, what's my outcome? Let's look at which of these areas do I want to attack first. Let me look at this aspect of the business. Let me look at what I'm going to do with my daughter. What's my outcome? Why do I want to do this? And then how? How can I best help my daughter make this change? How can I best help this person at work to get what they really want? How can I do all this stuff and remain centered? That's one of my categories. I don't want to leave out my own emotional well-being or I'm not going to be good for anybody else. If I'm giving to them constantly and I don't take care of myself, I'm reacting. I can say, you know what? I'll call you back and I'll talk to you in 2 hours, or I'll call you in 4 hours. I got it. Don't worry. I'll get on top of it. And then you go back to your own space again. Otherwise, guess what you do? You start to write down this to-do list. So I got to talk to my daughter, and I got to deal with the IRS thing, and I got to do this, and I got to do that. And you got this long list, and you look at that list, and it's like sitting in your house when you got all those items in front of you, and they're not put in their proper place, and you feel a bit overwhelmed. And by the way, you may not be feeling some very pleasant feelings right now, because first I put you in this great environment, then I started telling you the IRS was going to come get you, reminded you of every problem that you could possibly have in your life. So hang in there. None of that really happened. You don't have to spin out and go off daydreaming about all the horrible things in your life. Come back to me. Here's what I want you to know. You don't have to be in that reaction. I gave you a worst case scenario. The truth is, if you have these categories, which is a set of areas of your life that you're going to constantly focus on and spend time improving, and you're going to measure weekly, you won't find yourself in that position, will you? Because you'll be in the zone. You'll have specific goals for your children, for your family, for your intimate relationship. You'll have specific goals for the marketing division of your company and for the accounting division. And you'll be looking each week to see how you can improve it so you don't end up with people coming to you and breaking your space and saying, you got to deal with this problem. It's only a problem because now it's urgent and important, isn't it? They're coming after you. Some of it's just urgent. And you're reacting to it. But if instead you said, okay, what's my vision for this category of my life? Like, What do I want my family life to really be like if it was at its best? Now, in order to make that happen, I'm inspired by that. Or what would my body be like if it was its absolute best? What's my vision? What is my outcome even for this area of my life, this category? And how am I going to make that happen? Let me create an OPA plan. And you're pursuing that on a daily or a weekly or a monthly basis. Then guess what? You suddenly don't have somebody come in and say, you know what? You got a real physical problem because you've been proactive. You took care of yourself. You're not in a position where you start getting sick and breaking down because you've got that category. You're constantly improving. You don't have somebody come in saying, you know, you got a real problem with your daughter because you have a relationship. You'd know it before it got to that point. And you're proactively doing things to make them better. And she probably would come to you before somebody else would. Do you get the picture? You don't have to live in reaction. That's the power of categories. It's a chance to not react when it's a problem. It's a chance to define your zone. These are the areas of your life that you want to go first. You want to anticipate. You want to say, I don't want to just solve stuff here. I don't want just a bigger to-do list that's sorted into a bunch of drawers. I want to have visions for my life. I want to have a picture, a feeling, a gut-level idea of my ultimate goal in this area of my life so that I'm pursuing something instead of being pursued by it. That's when the quality of your life begins to change, and that's how you create a life plan. And by the way, if you've got these categories, you'll develop more sensitivity. See, some of you felt jarred when you're in this wonderful space and all of a sudden everybody came and wanted something from you. Well, we do this to other people all the time, don't we? It's like we have our agenda and we want to get our to-do list done. And so we turn to that person and we say, hey, I need your help. You got this and this and this. Well, maybe now's not the time to say that. And if you've got a proactive set of outcomes where you say, my relationship, my number one thing is to make that person feel appreciated, then maybe when you first meet them at the end of the day, you don't have your to-do list to hit them with. But instead, you talk to them and tell them that you miss them or you love them or something else that's part of your outcome to make that relationship better. And you know what? These create new habits because ultimately that's what changes your life, a new set of habits of how to think and feel and interact. And wouldn't it be nice to be able to see the categories of your kids? My kids have those. Are the categories for your wife or your husband or your boyfriend or girlfriend or the people you work with? It would help you understand what are the areas of their life that are most important to them, both personally and professionally. And if they had a vision for each of those, like here's my ultimate goal and here's why I want to do this with my life in this area, and they had some specific results they were after, wouldn't that help you to understand more and support more the people you're with? I'm telling you, this will not just be a life plan for you. This is something you can do in a short period of time and it will immediately change your focus. And isn't that the basis of this whole program? Focus on what matters. Focus on what really means the most to you. Put your time, your energy, and your emotion there. Don't wait till there's a problem. Don't wait till you've not focused and now someone's coming to get you to tell you there's a challenge. Be proactive. But it's nice to say a principle like be proactive. Everybody teaches that. This is the practical way to make that happen. And what that looks like is on a weekly basis, we're going to initially create an overall plan. You said, I don't know what I want for my life. Yeah, you do. You know the areas of your life you want to improve in. Maybe you don't know exactly what that looks like or mechanically what perfect job you want. Well, that's going to change anyway. The average person today is going to have seven careers, not seven jobs, if you believe the statistics are being told. So you can get the results you want in your life in a lot of ways. But certain things are forever, aren't they? Like you've got to forever make improvement in your body. So let's look at your personal life first. What are some of those areas that you've got to continuously focus on, that you've got to continuously improve for your life to work? What are the areas that if you don't put focus there, things do not get better, they get worse? And some of them are obvious. Again, for me, I have one called physical power. That's my world-class fitness and health. That's the area of my life where I got to constantly improve it. I can't just hope it's great. Or if, say, I'm healthy because I have the absence of disease, that's not health. Health is vitality and energy when everything inside of you is working at optimum levels that it gives you the capacity to do, be, share, and create everything you're capable of. That's health. That doesn't show up just by hanging out. That shows up because you say, I'm going to do something each day. I have an outcome I'm after each day, each week to improve that. And boy, does that make you feel good when you do that on an ongoing basis. But when you'll say, well, what's on my to-do list? I got to work out. And it's not part of a life plan. It's not very compelling. And we don't know why you're doing it. Well, because I got to lose 5 pounds. Yeah, gosh, things are coming up. I'm getting those love handles. That isn't going to get you to do squat. What's another area? For me, it's emotional juice. I got to make sure that I keep that in my life because how the heck can I give that to anybody else if I don't bring that into my own life consciously, if I don't have a plan for that, things are going to make sure I create not only balance, but excitement and fulfillment. And then another area for me is an extraordinary family life. You know, and for me, I separate that as I'm going to walk you through in a little bit. Within that, I have different roles that we'll talk about next. But I certainly have the role of being an extraordinary husband and an outstanding father to each of my children. And I have specific goals for that. Now, I'm telling you all this. We're going to walk you through it step by step. First, we've got to come up with the categories. What's another area? I have extraordinary friendships because that's important to me. It's a major area of my life that it's easy to get pulled apart because there's so many demands. If I don't focus on that, gosh, sometimes I got great friends and I wouldn't have talked to them for 2 months, 3 months. And then, you know, sometimes those relationships drift away, like the commercial talks about, you know? It's like, it's not because you're mad. It's not because you don't care. You actually do care. You love them, but you just get caught up. And it isn't part of your focus. And pretty soon the relationship isn't damaged. It just doesn't exist. You haven't called in so long that it kind of feels weird to even call. I mean, you ever been in that place? So if you got to focus in that area and know who those friends are and how you want to nurture them, and it's fun, it's proactive. Suddenly you're not waiting last moment and go, oh my God, I just remembered. It's my best friend's birthday tomorrow. Oh, better make it over to Skaggs Drugstore to try and get something for him. You know, instead of doing that, maybe actually get a little creative. You know that your anniversary is coming up. You don't wait till the last minute and go, oh, what can I get? You actually think it through and you get the juice that comes from being one of those unique souls that thinks their life through and has fun with it and comes up with all the creativity you have inside of you, and you get the fun of seeing what the surprise creates on that person's face. That happens when you got categories. Otherwise, you get sucked in, don't you? Sucked in to doing the same old things day after day. Sucked in to responding to other people's demands. Sucked in to responding to, oh my God, I'm a little concerned about this. I'm worried. I got fear in this area. Sucked in to saying, you know, I've watched this TV program, you know, because, you know, it'll make me feel good for now. You don't want to get sucked in. If you want to do those things consciously, I applaud you. But don't do them by default. Living a life by default is setting yourself up for a life of pain and regret. Living a life consciously, you say, these are the stakes I'm putting in the ground. I'm not going to let all that other focus get me. I'm going to make continuous progress in these areas. That's a life that grabs you.
This session continues on the opposite side.
What's another category for your personal life? Maybe the spiritual side. I call it spirit and soul for me, or being a force for God. Maybe it's an area of your life, contribution to the community. That's, for me, called being a force for good. You know, being a leader. What are some of those other areas that are really important in your life? How about the financial area of your life? Creating absolute financial independence, an area called finance. So those are some of the areas. And what I'd like you to do right now is I'd like you to stop the tape and create your personal categories. You go, do I have the ability to do that? This seems like an incredibly complex thing. This is my entire life. Don't make it such a big deal. Just make a list. What are some of the areas of your life and your personal life that you need to continuously focus on? I just gave you 6 or 7 examples, and I bet they're probably pretty similar for you as they are for me. But you may have some things I've not thought of that are different for your life. So just come up with a list. 6, 7, 8, 9, probably not more than 10 or 11 or 12. 12 would be pretty hairy in your personal life. Most of you have 6 or 7 or 8 areas that you got to focus on. So what are they? One of them you know is going to be physical, right? I mean, everybody's got to have that one on their list. So go ahead right now and write out those areas that are really most important. Forget about the vision and the goals and all that stuff. I'm going to walk you through that. Just write down the names of the areas of your life that you want to continuously focus on and improve. And by doing so, you know, virtually your whole personal life could fit within those 6, 7, or 8 categories or whatever it is for you. So don't make yourself stressed. Just do it, and we'll refine it. Give it your first best shot at it, okay? Rock and roll. Do it now. Welcome back. So how'd you do? I'm sure you weren't perfect. I know I was far from perfect making my first categories of improvement for my personal life because I left some things out. But you know what? As I started living my life, I went, hey, this is a bunch of things together here belong in their own category. I hadn't even thought of that. Remember, our goal is not to be perfect. It's to be what? Outstanding. Right? We want to just do a great job. And by the way, I want to say something to you. If you're listening to these tapes in your car, which is likely many of you are doing, then you may start to get overwhelmed in the next section. In fact, you may be a little overwhelmed right now because you're going, oh my gosh, I haven't done this. And he's asking me for more things to do, and he keeps telling me to turn off the tape, and I'm listening to my car, and I don't have the time for this stuff, and I already got so much on my to-do list, and he's giving me more to do. So what you got to do is breathe, right? Don't make things more important than they are, and this task is pretty simple. you can pretty much remember, if you're listening to this in your car, these six or seven areas, you know, because they're pretty important to you. Now, when I go into the professional area, it'll seem more complex. And if you don't sit down and do this with paper and pencil, you go, oh, my God, I haven't even done my personal area. Now I'm talking about my professional area, and it's going to be even more complex. Let me give you a clue. Your life is complex. Our goal is make it simple. Now, it was very complex driving that car, that stick shift again, beating that metaphor to death. But it's one I think we all can relate to, right? So it's very complex in the beginning. You say, oh, my God. But let me tell you the difference. You committed the time to master it. You certainly can make this happen in your professional life as well. But I'd suggest if you're in your car, pull over. And don't say, oh, well, I'm going to go do this later. Because then you know what you'll do? You get caught up in the urgencies. Or you go into distraction. Because you'll say, I don't want to work. I got enough work at work. Hey, if you stick with me on this, if you'll just take the time to sit down and make a list of six or seven or eight areas and think it through, you can do it in 10, 15, 20 minutes. If you're here with me in a seminar, I mean, if you came to a seminar, you'd feel less complex because guess what? You'd have no distraction. You're sitting there watching me directly or watching one of my facilitators, and we say, do it now. And you pull out the pen and paper, and you do it. We always make a task bigger in our heads than it really is. And don't make it bigger than it is. It's writing down six or seven areas. Same thing in your professional life. And by the way, if you get a little confused on your business side, that's natural. What you got to look at is instead of looking at like an activity that you do, think of a group of things that you do that all relate to one area of your business career. So again, you know, if you're a singer, then you might have an area which is your ongoing performances. You might have another area of your life which is the development of your voice and your skill. That's an area you got to constantly improve on, right? You might have the actual PR of promoting who you are and developing your identity and the culture. You might have the management of your managers, making sure the people that you work with on a regular basis are doing their job effectively. Let me give you an example. My daughter Jolie is an actress. And one of the things that she's done is, in the beginning, she focused on just trying to get jobs. And she worked really hard on that. And then she thought, well, I've also got to work on building my skills as an actress. Well, those are two different categories, right? Getting jobs requires that you have a focus on getting auditions as one outcome. What's another outcome? Staying abreast of all the opportunities that are available that could possibly become jobs for you. What else? There are a series of outcomes, series of things that go together called creating new job opportunities, right? New acting opportunities. But then there was a separate category she has to work on simultaneously, which is constantly improving her acting, comedic, and singing skills. And that requires different things like singing classes and acting classes and many other things like that. Then there was another area of her life, which is networking. You know, she realized, I've got to really network. I've got to do some PR. I've got to have an area which is constantly building my name and identity, not just getting jobs, not just building my skills, but getting people to know who I am and have people talk about who I am so that maybe I get some new opportunities. And then there's a fourth area, and I said, Jolie, there's an area called managing your business, your life. You got to think of yourself as a business, right? I mean, to have a career, you got to think of yourself as Jolie Enterprises. And say, you know, you've got to manage who? And she said, oh my gosh, you know, you're right. I'm not managing my manager. I'm letting him manage me. I'm not managing my agent. And that's not an easy thing to do, she said, but I'm not focusing on it at all because I'm so busy trying to get jobs or I'm so busy working on my skills. So you can't leave that out. See, so what are the other areas? And she came up with about, I think, six areas that she now constantly focuses on. And what's wonderful about that is she doesn't drop things out and she's grown geometrically. And so now she's getting job opportunities that are amazing because her skill sets are strong. She's got a networked name. A lot of people know who she is. She's got her agents doing everything they can possibly do. And she's going out and doing the business of actually acting, really doing her very best in that area. And she's also got her finances handled a great way. All this is in her professional set of categories. So she might have, again, five or six of these. But she looks at these each week and says, what am I going to do this week to increase my acting skills? What am I going to do this week to work on producing some new job opportunities? What am I going to do this week to network effectively? What am I going to do this week with my manager or my agent so they want to help me to make sure they're on target? And by the way, Jolie's got a network. She's got to promote herself. She's got to market herself, right? Don't you? Even if you work for a company, don't you have to market yourself? I mean, in the old days when people were outsourcing and right-sizing, which will come again. I mean, business doesn't always go great like it is in this particular time of human history. There'll be shifts. Winters come. And what they do is people get outsourced who are really good. Companies now downsize and they let go of people, not because they're a problem, but because they figure they got to cut their costs. Guess who stays? The person everybody knows is invaluable because they've done a little bit of marketing. They've really communicated. They've networked. People know the kind of results that they're producing. So I think some of these things may be somewhat universal. You've got to manage your professional life if you want it to grow, whether you're an entrepreneur or you own your own business or you work for somebody else, it doesn't matter, or you're an actress. Does this make sense? I mean, this is just simply a personal management system. You got to manage yourself. That's what this is. And in the beginning, that seems complex. But after a while, it becomes really, really a sense of freedom because you know you're not missing anything and you feel the momentum that comes from constantly improving the areas that really matter to you. Does that make sense? That's the value of these categories. I know this seems complex because you're creating a life plan, but it doesn't, again, need to be absolutely perfect and finished. Let's just get you to get those initial categories down and not make it too big a task in your mind. Again, I'm some of you are probably saying, Tony, I got it. It's handled. Ignore me then and let's move on. And let me give you another example that may sound more complex. Some of you can just pass this example up. And the reason I say that is some of your lives are not that complex, but if you are running a whole division of a company, then you're going to have a little more complexity, right? Or if you're a manager, or if you're a leader in a company, then you might have more than three or four categories. You might have six or seven or eight, but you still can group things together that relate to one another, right? So, for example, I worked with this lady who was a sales and marketing manager for a large firm. And I said to her, what are the areas of your business, of what you manage, that you've got to focus on constantly and constantly improve? I mean, what are the areas? Group them together. Don't write down each individual task. That's overwhelming. She said, well, one area that's obvious is I still, even though I'm the manager, I have to lead by example. So I have an area that's constantly creating new sales. I said, okay, that's an area that if you don't focus on it, you're not going to get new sales, right? She said, of course. I said, okay, so you want to create new sales. And that's an area of constant, never-ending improvement, right? She said, absolutely. I said, what's another area? She said, well, I already have a bunch of clients who I've already sold to, and I need to nurture them. I need to make sure that they become raving fan customers, not just satisfied customers. I said, okay, and you might want to even change the language of that, not just manage those customers, but really maximize your capacity to support them. But that's an area that you want to constantly focus on, constantly improve. What's a third area? She said, you know, by the example you gave of your daughter with acting, you know, I don't spend enough time really, truly working on my skills. You know, I'm so caught up in selling or supporting accounts that I very often don't say, okay, I need to go to class on expanding my leadership or my management skill. Or how can I market more effectively? I do need to take time for that. And that's an area that I should be focusing on, but I'm not. I said, great, there's a third category. What else? She goes, well, there's the obvious. I'm the manager of the division. I've got to really manage my people. I said, do you want to just manage them or do you want to empower them? She goes, you're right. I said, so how would you language that? She said, well, I'd have a category called total team empowerment. And my vision for that would be that everybody on the team on a regular basis, I'm thinking of ways each week to excite them, to create great contests, to acknowledge them, to respect them, to get them involved in decision making so that what happens is everyone is maximizing their capabilities. I said, that's fabulous. Because guess how many people leave that out? And that's their job. Just because they're caught up in the day-to-day. I said, what else? She said, well, I got to really manage the cost of my division because I'm responsible for that. And that's something I got to do on a regular basis too. And then she came up with one more category, which she said, you know, I've got to keep making my relationship better and better with my supervisor, with the vice president of the company, because they determine my future. So I got to actually have an ongoing focus on how to keep them informed and understand what their goals are and what the company's vision is and how I can make things better. So what did she end up with? I said, well, let's look at your life now. On the professional side, if you constantly focus on the things that are necessary, the outcomes necessary to constantly create new sales, and you got specific goals in that area and a great vision and a real reason that makes you want to do it, are you going to spend time there? She said, of course. And I said, if you also each week are measuring how you're doing and constantly not only maintaining, but really maximizing your support of current customers, then they're going to be raving fans and they're going to bring you more business usually, right? And she said, absolutely. And I said, and if simultaneously you're improving your skills, you're going to be a better leader and a better marketer. And if you're constantly focusing on how to empower your team, you're not going to have these calls of people being upset and having to replace people so often. You're going to have more stability in your life. You're not going to be reacting. And you'll do a better job, right? Because it's part of your focus. She said, oh, God, this makes so much sense. And so forth, managing your costs, et cetera. So she came up with those, and she set specific goals. Now, that's what we're going to do next. I'm going to show you how to set some very specific goals in these areas. Like, what are your goals for your body? You know, what are your goals for your family? What are the things you want to do with them this year? What are some goals, some outcomes, if you would, for your finances, long term and this year? You know, we're going to have you go through that process. But let's have you first actually create your professional categories. And again, take 10 minutes, 15 minutes, and really do it. You can do it in five or six. It's just a list. Six or seven things. Think this through. Be strategic right now, and don't be perfect. You know, let's just get it done together, and then we'll go to the next step, okay? Go for it right now. Okay, now you've done the hardest part. You've come up with your silly little list, your categories of improvement for your personal life and your professional life. Now, here's what we want to do. I don't want you to end up with just two new lists that you got to manage. And it's like, oh my God, here we go again. We want you to feel compelled to spend time there, to put your time, your emotion, your energy there, so you're again proactive in making it happen. We want to set some goals in this area. But the way to do that is first we want to juice up the categories. And what I mean by that is there's two ways to be motivated in life. One is by push. Push is when you're doing something because you have to do it. You're doing it because you're afraid, or you're doing it because somebody wants something from you, and it's like, oh, I got to get this done. You know, you might be motivated, but you know, it's more like it's a must-do because you're being pushed to do it by something. Sometimes that's fear-driven. Sometimes that's just frustration-driven. Sometimes it's just necessity-driven. There's not a lot of juice and push. And a lot of people think, well, I'm not motivated because I don't have enough problems in my life. If I had more problems, I'd be motivated. Let me tell you something. That's total garbage. The power in your being ongoingly inspired is pull. Pull is when you come up with a vision that's so inspiring, that's something that excites you so much that you want to do it. You don't have to do it. You want to do it. You want to go there. And that will give you a lasting drive, and it'll make the experience much more enjoyable. Now, part of how you do that is you get a vision, which we're going to do, because a vision makes a big difference in how you approach something. Like, for example, if you were to think of your ultimate vision for your physical body, what would you look like? How would you feel? How would you move? How would you breathe? How athletic? What sports might you participate in if your body was absolutely at its ideal, your ultimate vision, your ultimate outcome for that area of your life, that category of improvement? Think about that for a second. And if you think about that and you really get an image of it or a feeling for it, and you imagine stepping into it and really being at that level, forget how you're going to do it. Remember, we got to know what you want, and then we'll figure enough reasons why you can get there. How many people have converted their body from something that they were struggling with to something exciting? You know, I've got a friend that literally didn't take care of himself till he started in his early 60s. And now he's 70 years old, and he bench presses 450 pounds. I mean, it's unbelievable. He looks younger than he's ever looked in his entire life. So it's never too late if you get a strong enough vision and a strong enough why. But before we go into our vision, let's start with something even simpler. Let's look at the power of language to make you want to do these things. If I came along to you and I said, you know what you just said? I think you're mistaken about that. Does that word have an impact on how you feel if I say you're mistaken? What if I said, you know what? You're wrong. Worse, what if I said, you know something? You're lying. Now, for most people, just changing one word completely changes what that means to them, completely changes how they feel. What if I said to you, the food I just had was, you know, it's okay. Or if I said, you know, it's pretty good. Or if I said, it was delicious. What if I said, you are pretty good. Or you're great. Or I said, you're delicious. And that kind of means something very different, doesn't it? So our emotions are radically affected by the words we select and that we associate to something. If somebody says, how's it going? You go, oh, better than dead. Does that affect the way you feel? Rather than if you say, outstanding, splendid, spectacular, outrageous, I love my life. See, all of us have heard other speakers, somebody maybe historic who inspired us, right? You listen to a Martin Luther King or a John F. Kennedy, and wham, through the power of their words, you're moved. But we forget that who's moving us every single day through words is ourselves. What we say to ourselves, the words we select, make all the difference. Now, I'm not talking about self-talk. I'm not talking about, you know, being Stuart Smalley on Saturday Night Live and saying, you're good enough, you're strong enough, you're bright enough, and by golly, people like you. I remember I told you I don't believe in positive thinking. I mean, be smart. If you think about a situation and you say, that person is stabbing me in the back, like we talked about earlier, you're going to intensify your emotion a whole lot differently. And you say, you know, that person is doing something that's, you know, a little bit annoying. Or if you were to say, you know, he's doing something I really don't approve of or I don't really support, would that change your level of intensity? Well, think about your own wife. If you say, I have to do this, how does that feel compared to you saying, gosh, I can't wait to do this, or I want this? See, so part of what can change how you feel in a moment is selecting the words to describe your experience. Select the right words, man, wham! You're going to feel radically different in literally a matter of moments. So if I think, you know, I got to work on my physical body because I have a category called physical body, that may not juice me up as much as if I say, you know what, I'm going to work on my physical power, or I'm going to go create my world-class health and fitness. Or, for example, for me, one of the things I look at is I have these different ways of describing my categories. I call them roles. I have lots of roles. Like, I'm a pilot, but my way of describing that is I'm a licensed source of passion. You know, because what it is I go out and I share with people an experience that's radically different. I think about piloting something. It's like, yeah, I'm a pilot. But licensed source of passion, I'm going, let's do it, baby. It's a different feeling. Makes me want to go do it. Is this making any sense? I hope so, because it really does affect the way you live. Now, when you take words and you attach them to one more distinction, now you can put fire in your belly. And that distinction is understanding something called the power of identity. Let me explain to you just real quick. In fact, I can do it through a good example. Let's say you meet somebody. Let's say you know somebody. And you have a set of beliefs about that person. Now, because you know them. And those beliefs that you have about them are the things we call their identity. The identity you have for that person in your own mind. Let's give an example. Let's say you know this person and you say, this person is my friend. That's one of the beliefs you have about them. They really care about me. This person, John, I mean, he's a lover of life. John loves people. John is full of integrity. John is just one of those special people in life, and I feel really grateful to have John in my life. Now, all of those beliefs that you have about John are the identity you hold for John. Will those beliefs affect what you do or don't do with John? What you'll say to John or not say? What you'll even think about when you think of John or not think about? You bet they will. Now, what if one day John, this best friend of yours, this lover of life, this man of total integrity, this warm, loving soul who you count on as a friend, treats you like heck? He's mean, he's vicious, he's totally unfair. What are you going to do? Well, you probably get a little angry. Because what's happening is you're disappointed, right? You're like frustrated. I mean, of all people, how could John do this? But what happens is after a while, if you can't resolve the situation in a short period of time, or you had to go handle a phone call, they had to go do something, if you can't handle it right then and there, you'll probably rationalize John's behavior, won't you? Because after all, you know John's a good guy. So you'll probably say John was having a what? Bad day. Now, have you ever had a day when you hope someone rationalized your behavior? I know I have. Now, on the other hand, what if you had the opposite beliefs about John? And what if they were incorrect, but as long as you believe it, you're going to react to it, aren't you? Let's say you believe that John is not a nice guy. John is not your friend. What if you believe that John was a manipulator? That John doesn't care about anybody but himself? That John would do anything to get his goals at anybody else's expense? That this person is out for only number one? Now, if you believe that about John, even if you're wrong, if you believe it, then you have an identity for John. And will it affect the way you interact with him? Yes or no? Of course you know the answer is yes. Now, all of a sudden, what you're going to say or what you do or what you'd expect from John changes radically. So now let's say this mean John, the one you know is horrible and a manipulator and doesn't care about anybody but themselves. What if now this person doesn't treat you mean? They treat you real nice. What's going to be the first question that pops in your head when you know they're a manipulator? What does he what? Want? So I want you to get that what controls our lives is this concept of identity. And see, it totally controls how you interact with John. Doesn't matter what's true. What matters is what you believe. Now, you say, well, that's interesting, Tony, but what's this got to do with me and my life? Well, the answer is you have an identity for yourself. You have a set of beliefs about who you are that control everything you do, the way you even interact with yourself. See, if you believe that you're, for example, a very conservative person, then if someone says, let's go do something outrageous, you know, hey, I'm not that kind of person. What kind of person are you? I don't know, but I'm not that kind, right? And what happens is it becomes a limit to your capabilities. It literally stops you. It's like we have a comfort zone in our lives. It's like a thermostat on the wall. You set that thing at 78 degrees Fahrenheit, and all of a sudden the temperature drops to 72, and 78 degrees is your comfort zone, meaning it's your identity to be at 78 degrees financially. Like, that's not your ultimate goal, but that's like what you're used to. That's what you're comfortable with, or 78 degrees is a metaphor for how much love is in your life, how much intimacy. And if it drops down to 72, you go, hey, it's not good enough. Or 78 degrees is the kind of relationship with your kids you want to have, or the amount of connection you feel with your creator. Or 78 degrees is a body weight that you feel comfortable. Maybe it's not your ideal, but it's your comfort zone. Well, if it gets worse, it drops down to 72 degrees, what happens? I'll tell you what happens. That little computer, that little heater that you set at 70 degrees says, this is not good enough. After all, I'm a 78 degree, or what the heck am I doing at 72 degrees? It isn't good enough. And you find drive, don't you? And all of a sudden you say, I got to do something. I got to make it better. Have you ever been in that place? Like where your finances were not where you wanted and you finally said, that's enough. Or your body got so fat, you went, that is enough. That's not who I am. That's not my identity. And you felt that drive to change? I bet you have. So the point of the matter is, though, you know what some people do? Some people, when it drops to 72 degrees, they say, okay, I got to go on a diet. But then they don't follow through. or they try something else and they get disappointed, or they try a diet and they lose weight and gain it back. After a while, you know what some people do? They just say, you know, I'm fat. I'm a 72-degreer. Or you know what some people do? They'll set a goal for themselves, and then the last minute they'll get fearful and they'll procrastinate. And so then the next time they really go for it, but the last minute they don't do it and they procrastinate. And after three or four times, we don't want to be disappointed in ourselves. So you know what a lot of people do? They just go, I'm a procrastinator. And what do they get? They at least get certainty. I mean, we live in a world where one of our needs is certainty. The world's constantly changing. Most people are freaking out inside. They don't know what's going to happen next. Change is happening so rapidly. So at least I know who I am. So one of the things I want to do for you is I want to get you to identify all the roles that are available in your life. You know, some people teach, try and manage your life through roles. But I don't know about you, but I got dozens. I'm all kinds of different people in all kinds of different contexts. So first we can use words to maybe juice up our category. So if you had something that was kind of antiseptic, like the category of physical maintenance, maybe you want to turn that into world-class fitness. Or maybe you want to create some other title there that juices it up. But what I want you to do even more importantly than that is I want you to identify the roles that would juice you in these areas. Maybe under physical, you've got physical fitness or world-class fitness, but the roles you're going to play is an Adonis. You come up with a bunch of titles that make you smile, make you feel good. You know, I have a category of improvement in my personal life, which is called Creator of the Good Life. And what that is thinking of ways to help my family, my friends, myself experience even more joy in our lives. That's one of the areas I want to constantly focus on. But under that, I have a lot of different roles, like creator of ultimate environments. I mean, that's how I created my place here in Fiji, which I bring all my friends to. It's why I created a resort rather than just a house. Or the place I built in Aspen, where all my friends come, and they get a chance to snowboard and ski and so forth. I have another one that's just called Fun Phantom. You know, because I love to do things that are fun, that are surprises for everybody, or surprise sorcerer, or sexual sensei, or some other insane, playful thing that makes me crack up and laugh. Now, that makes me want to spend time in that area a lot more than if I go, create homes and environments that support myself and my friends to feel good. You know, you go, oh, man, that's just another to-do on your list. So you want to come up with something that's a lot more juicy. Maybe in the financial area, instead of just finances, maybe you make it the title of the category, financial independence. And maybe you have several different areas, like extraordinary investor, financial genius, protector of the family assets. I mean, those things might juice you up a whole lot more and want to spend time there. Let me give you a practical example, okay? One time when I was first teaching some of these fundamentals, a woman raised her hand. She goes, what if you're in the position where you hate your job? And I said, well, tell me what your job is. She goes, I'm a school teacher. And I said, wow, I can see you're very inspired by the concept. And she says, I hate it. I said, well, you know what's interesting? When we develop an identity, with it come a set of beliefs and a set of rules, a bunch of beliefs about what we think we have to do. So as a school teacher, who are you? Like, what's your real role in your mind? She goes, I'm a disciplinarian. She goes, I'm a babysitter because parents don't take care of their kids, so they're unruly, and I got to do that when they come here because they don't really come here to learn. She said, I'm an enforcer of the state's will. I have to teach the stuff the state wants me to teach because I hate it. I said, well, let me ask you a question. Why'd you become a teacher? I mean, at one point in your life, it was a vision. At one point, it was something you wanted. What did you believe back then? She goes, I don't know. I said, well, just think for a moment. And all of a sudden, you just saw her entire face change. And I said, what was your outcome? I mean, what did you really want by becoming a teacher? What did you want to be? Because that's what a role is. It's like, who do you want to be? It's part of the color and texture of life. She goes, well, I guess what I thought a teacher would be is, you know, like a developer of the human spirit. And I said, well, if you were a developer of the human spirit, then what would the rules of the game be? Who would you be? What would you do? She said, well, gosh, if I was a developer of the human spirit, and her whole voice changed. She said, I'd have to care about every child. And everybody in the room like looked at her. It was like this incredible shift. I said, okay, well, if you're a developer of the human spirit, what else would you need to do? She said, well, you'd have to make learning fun because that's what gets kids want to do it. I said, well, if you're a developer of the human spirit, what else would you be? What else would you do? She said, well, I'd have to get to know their parents. If I was really developed a human spirit, I'd have to stop judging the parents for what they're not doing. I'd have to think about how tough their lives must be and help them with their children. I said, how would that feel? And she just grinned from ear to ear, looked like a different woman. She looked about 15 years younger. She goes, oh my gosh. I said, maybe you should stop teaching and become a developer of the human spirit. And she said, smiled. She said, done. And everybody in the room stood up and gave her a great hand. It was just fantastic. I had another example where a woman came to a seminar one time and she said, well, I hate my job, a totally different seminar. And so what do? She goes, I'm a stockbroker on Wall Street. I said, well, there are a lot of people that that's their dream. She said, well, it was mine too at one time, but they've not been in it. They don't know what it's really like. I said, well, as a stockbroker, you know, who are you? She said, I'm a pest. I said, okay, well, I can see why you want to do it. She goes, I got to constantly call people and try and, you know, get them to give me some money so I can find them opportunities, and they don't even appreciate it. She goes, I'm a cold caller. I feel like a peasant. Like, I'm always asking for something from people. I said, well, I asked the same question. I said, well, what did you want? Why did you become a stockbroker in the first place? She said, I want to be a mover and a shaker. I said, well, from what I understand, you're on Wall Street and you're doing pretty darn well. She goes, well, I am. I said, well, that's interesting. I said, why don't you just become a mover and a shaker again? She goes, because I got to make these cold calls. I said, well, what's another word for that part of your role of being a great stockbroker? She said, well, and she thought for a while, and I said, well, you think about it. I'm going to go on to somebody else. And I came back. She raised her hand. She just lit up about 4 or 5 minutes later. She goes, I'll tell you what I am. And we all saw the change. It happened, a big smile on her face. She goes, I'm a treasure hunter. She said, I'm out there searching for buried treasure. I'm calling people to find the little bit of treasure they got, and then I'm taking that and showing them how to turn it into a giant treasure, one that'll change their whole life. And she goes, you know what? When I think about that, I am a mover and shaker, for God's sakes. I know what I'm doing. Most people don't. I can really help. I said, well, maybe you want to go back and not be a stockbroker. She started laughing. She goes, I'm a mover and a shaker, baby. And everybody started cracking up. And it was this entire transformation in how she looked at her entire life just by changing a few words and a few roles. Does this make sense to you? Maybe we can take the stuff that in the beginning of the tape seemed like this hard work and turn it into something really juicy now. So that's what I want you to do. Now, don't do them all. I don't want you to take all the time to do that. Pick like two or three of your personal categories and write out some roles and really physically do this. Like, make it playful. Make it fun. What do you really want to be? Like, one of my roles within emotional juice, and by the way, I changed the name from emotional well-being to emotional juice because there's more passion in that. That's a category for me. That's a category in which I focus on how to make sure I nurture Tony Robbins so that I can really help everybody else. And so under that, I've got all these different roles, which is, like, one of them is an outrageous and playful kid that makes you smile. That's a big part of my life. And I thought, when I'm being that way, I'm juiced. That's different than saying I must facilitate change within other human beings and thereby feel a sense of satisfaction that will guide me into a greater quality of life. That's boring. So go do something that's fun. Go juice these up. And on your professional level, do it as well. And by the way, you'll see many examples in your workbook. Look at those and look at some of the roles people have. Look at how that juices up the category for them. It's like one of my categories, for example, is the chairman of the Anthony Robbins companies. But under that, here are my roles. I'm father of the clan. I'm the spiritual leader. I'm the force for good. I'm the visionary. Now, when I think about that, I want to go spend some time there. Chairman of the Anthony Robbins companies, you know, that's okay. But those roles pull me there. You know how in OPA we have an outcome, the target we're after? Well, the categories are like areas of your life that you're going to target. What juices up OPA is when we come to the purpose, right? That's when you start getting the juice, the reasons why you want to do something. Well, the way you juice up your categories is come up with some juicy roles. Does this sound like this could be fun? It is. Now, I want you to go ahead and create these roles, but let me give you the good news. This marathon session is over. It's time for you to just do your task, and your simple task, your simple action item, your simple plan is this. You don't have five of them. All you got to do is right now sit down and create your roles. And you don't have to do them on everyone. Do like two or three on your personal side, two or three on your professional side. Now, you may get hooked. You may start enjoying this so much you'll do them all. I hope you do. But if you don't have a lot of time, do two or three. Because you know what that'll do? That'll pull you back into the next session. And the next session, by the way, is going to be fun. It's going to be about creating your vision. You're going to start to see all these things I've been talking about come together in a way that's simple and clear. Because what we're going to do is find out, like, what's your ultimate vision for your body? What's your ultimate vision? Where do you want to be financially? What's your ultimate vision for this area of your professional life? And why do you want it? And let's look at all the resources you have, like all the things you could use to get to that you're not even thinking of. And then what are your specific goals for the year or for the next 90 days? And I'm going to walk you through that process. It'll be a lot of fun. So this is your simple assignment. Do your roles. Juice it up. Make this so you can't wait to spend time in these categories, all right? And I look forward to spending time with you in session number 4. We're getting down the short roads. It's starting to come together. You got a great foundation. Let's make it happen. So this is Tony Robbins signing off for now, saying enjoy yourself and make sure you live with passion.